No, but
he
Bob Fox was a fun interview.
He was. Oh, he's crazy.
Where I,
and he's got a mouth like a sailor.
So he does. He held back.
Where he was talking about Siegfried and Roy, and where he's talking that he got in a fight with Siegfried, and he said, you know, you're a Nazi, and I'm Jewish, and Jews and Nazis don't do well together. And then he said that someone called him, and he goes, did you call Siegfried a Nazi? And he goes, I did. And they're like, you're going to have to apologize to him. He goes, I'm not apologizing. I'm not apologizing to him.
He wants to be a stand-up, or wanted to be a stand-up comedian. Oh, so he had a couple bits on there that had us dying.
Did he tell you the story about when he worked on Michael Jackson's Victory Tour?
No, not
he was like the advanced guy on, I think it was the Victory Tour. He was the advanced guy, so he'd go in, you know, a few days before the concert was to, you know, hit the town and get everything, you know, set up and prepped and work with the venue and blah, blah, blah. He said he did that for like a year and a half, if I'm remembering the story right. And during that whole year and a half, Michael Jackson never said a word to him. Not a word. Last concert, wherever the heck it was, he's backstage, and Michael and his whole entourage are coming by. It's the very last show on the road, and Bob walks by him, and he just goes, "Hey, Bob, thanks." That was it.
Full year and a half.
Oh, man. We should interview Bob. I heard that Bob's retiring. Was he you that told me that?
That's the rumor. I don't know. Oh. I'm pretty sure he is, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be done after this fair. Let him get through this fair.
Well, that's a legacy, though.
Oh,
man. Legacy that fair was dying until he got there. I mean, it was.
Yeah, that's what he was telling us.
It was on its deathbed.
Yeah. I like where Sidney's like, we got like monkeys that are going to ride dogs. He's like, how great is that? He goes, I go watch that. I go watch that all afternoon. He's like, monkeys riding dogs.
I'm all sure right. He does.
Well, let's see how we can do here. All right, so we're here today with Jeff Ashcraft, and Jeff is the president of the Handicap Development Center. And so I'm also in Rotary with Jeff, fellow Rotarians. And so we're talking to Jeff today not only about a Handicap Development Center, but some other things that he has going on. So, first of all, Jeff, what led you to the Handicapped Development Center?
Well, I was on the board for 13 years before I became president. And even before that, I had a brother who was a participant back in the 70s and 80s. My brother's no longer living, but I sort of grew up at HDC. I would go, when I was young, I would go out with my parents to pick him up from work, or if they were having a dance, or they would have like a spring formal, like a prom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go out there as a little kid, and it was better entertainment than anything that was on TV. It was just great fun. And then as I grew older, you know, I'd get sent out to go pick him up and et cetera. And then there was this huge gap until it was the early 2000s when I was asked to become a board member, and I did. And then for 4 years I was the board chair, and my predecessor had been there since almost the beginning. He'd been there like 44 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And as the board was contemplating what should happen there, they came to me and said, would you be interested in doing this? And I said, no. Anyway, after a couple weeks of honestly some prayerful consideration and some chatting with some, you know, mentors and my wife and some people who were close to me, thought, you know, maybe this was a God wink. This was an opportunity to, because working in the corporate world, you know, you get a little bit jaded, and sometimes you're not as motivated to get up and go to work in the morning. And so with a few conditions, you know, I said I wanted full support of the board and wanted it to be a smooth transition, et cetera. And so after we worked through all those things, made the leap from the corporate world to the nonprofit world, and I haven't looked back since. I mean, it's great to get up in the morning and have a reason to get up to go work, you know?
Sure.
I'm having a bad day. All I do is go hang out with our participants. In fact, I woke up the other morning, and I was crabby. I was absolutely crabby, and they do a thing on Tuesday mornings in our multi-purpose room at one of our facilities where it's really schmaltzy, man. It's a moment with the president. And they have me come in, and they played Hail to the Chief, and it was really embarrassing. And they caught me right before, and they said, hey, it's Tuesday, are you going to do this today? Because I hadn't talked to the staff who puts it together, and I was like, oh, I forgot, I got nothing. I'll do it. It's on my calendar, I'll do it, you bet. And so I get up there, and it's kind of like Robin Williams, "Good morning, HTC!" And they all, you know, participants love it, and they all get loud. And if they're not loud enough, I make them get louder. And for whatever reason, Tuesday morning after I said, "Good morning, HTC!" they all came up and started wanting to do it on the microphone themselves. So, and then I was just running around the room like, you know, Oprah, sticking the microphone in people's faces, and they're all doing it. 5 minutes was up, and I looked at the instructors who run the program, and I was like, "I'm done.
We're good."
And they just looked at me and went, "Cheater." But, you know, for a guy who was having a crabby morning,
right,
man, by the time I got done, I was higher than
that
guy.
Couldn't yeah. cheer yeah. you up.
Yeah. The rest of my day was, actually, the rest of my week was great. So, yeah, and that was just this week. So,
wow.
So how long have you been in the role of president then?
I've actually sat in the chair since August 1st of 2014, okay. but I've been an employee since sure. March of 2014.
Okay.
So
what did you do before that? What was your corporate world?
Well, connect the dots on this one. I was a vice president and market manager for Clear Channel Radio. Now they're known as iHeartMedia. They're the largest terrestrial radio operator in the world, and I manage 12 radio stations, 6 here in the Quad Cities, 4 in Cedar Rapids, 2 in Iowa City.
Wow!
I had more radio stations than any market manager in the company.
Wow!
Yeah.
So you were driving quite a bit.
Yeah, I would drive 2 days a week. Most of my time here because most of my revenue was generated here in the Quad Cities.
Sure.
And then I would spend 2 days either in Cedar Rapids and or Iowa City.
Wow.
Which is great fun.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
Well, it's a great area.
Yeah.
Well, you really can't go wrong in any of those three cities.
Oh, you know what? People talk about Cedar Rapids, and I'm like, I love Cedar Rapids. You know? I think there's so much fun things to do up in Cedar Rapids. Yeah. Give me an excuse. I'll go up to Cedar Rapids or Iowa City. I don't care.
Wow. And so was your whole career in radio before
No.
that, or?
No, I've had kind of an interesting career. I spent the first 10 years of my career in cable television. Did all kinds of things from video production to marketing to training. I was a corporate trainer and wound up my career as a public and government relations director for the company that I worked for. And actually, that was my first tour of duty in Cedar Rapids because during that time, I spent time in both the Quad Cities and Cedar Rapids. Left there, I was downsized out because they weren't acquired. They actually swapped cable systems, almost like trading baseball cards. One company wanted this one, the other company wanted this one. And so when the new company came in, there were about 23 of us who got booted, which was cool, though, because the company that I worked for took very good care of us. I only had a year's salary and benefits, got free cable. I mean,
free cable? There's such a thing?
They paid for a vacation, you know? I was like, what do you mean? I'm not going to be working. Yeah, you're still going to get paid vacation. Wow.
Hey, take Sweet. Some time off.
So I went to work for MidAmerican Energy then, and I was one of their corporate communications people. I was actually one of their spokespeople. Spokesboy is what I wanted on my car, but they wouldn't put that on there.
It wasn't professional.
No,
enough.
It was not. And I had the eastern part of their territory. So I had everything almost to the Minnesota border, all the way down towards Keokuk and east that
wow.
they had. So
wow.
Plus, for a while, I was their environmental person, and they had just bought a property in the Philippines, and I was going to be sent to the Philippines. But before I was going to be sent, I was going to have to go through, like, anti-terrorist training. And I was like, you know, I'm not that passionate about natural gas.
I don't know if I'm that committed.
Yeah, it's... So then I went to work for... doing some other stuff for a university. I was a vice president, had my own business for a little while, then went back into radio. So,
so you've run the full gamut. That is unbelievable.
Say,
that's
for a university,
awesome.
I've been president, had my own little business for a while, then went back into radio.
What was your business in?
It was in marketing. We did all kinds of stuff. I mean, we did everything from branding to printing to video production
awesome.
To websites. We were not very good at websites, but we did them. we even would do corporate wearables and signage and stuff like that.
So, everything that you've done has been right around here in this area.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. People who say that you can't make. I've had a very great, and I've had chances to go outside the area.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would imagine
so. Some big, sweet places like Lubbock, Texas, and Saginaw, Michigan. nothing against Saginaw. But,
to all of our Saginaw listeners.
I know, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? Our Saginaw market.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you guys have, you know, like a satellite office in Saginaw? The beat capital of the world.
Right? In Saginaw.
Well, just don't share this one with that office. nothing wrong with Saginaw, nothing wrong with Lubbock, but never found a good enough reason to leave the area,
right.
You know?
Right.
Family here, my wife and I wanted our kids to, her family's in Northwest Iowa, we didn't want to get any further away from them. My family was here, and quite frankly, the opportunities were better here, so why not stick around?
Right.
So yeah, I got no problems. And yeah. if this gig ends, I'll go find something else to do.
In this area.
Yeah, you bet.
That's great. That's
you know,
great.
we're really fans of marketing and branding, and we've done that.
For those of you out there, he's actually pointing at his shirt.
Yes.
This is not television.
We have done this. Oh, I'm horrible at that.
Yeah, he always does.
Like when we ask a kid how old they are and they hold up their fingers, and we're like, this is
he
audio.
Just put up.
He's really three, but he just put up five fingers.
Yeah. More rock and roll. So,
did you say rock and roll? Really?
I say that all the time.
You are like a DJ.
Kind of.
We're going to go right into a Led Zeppelin song. But we really will go into a Led Zeppelin song. That's our intro-outro.
Our Led Zeppelin song.
Sweet. You can't go wrong with Led Zeppelin.
So what are some of the things that the Handicap Development Center offers?
Oh, yeah. Is that why we're here?
Yeah.
What do we offer? Is that what you asked?
Yeah.
We run mainly four programs, and our programs are all strictly in Scott County. We've got two residential programs, an employment services program, and then a personal independence program. And I'll try to be brief on each one. Our main office is on Hickory Grove Road. That's where our administrative offices are and our employment services program. And we run a sheltered workshop there. In addition, though, to the sheltered workshop, we have job coaches there who work with our participants, those who want to get out in the community and work in the community, to help them develop a resume, help them fill out applications, to prepare for an interview. They go on the interview with them. And if they get the job, they go out on the job with them to make sure the job's being done to the spec of the employer.
Cool.
For those who either are not capable or have no interest in candidly, some of our participants they don't want to they want to be with their friends,
right?
And they've had some bad experiences in the community at times,
sure.
So they don't want necessarily to do that. So we have our sheltered workshop, which in some parts of the country is sort of a bad name because there's been some sheltered workshops out there who have given the industry a black eye, if you will. But our sheltered workshop, we employ about 120 to 130 people every day, and they're doing work from packaging things for John Deere to doing data processing jobs or mailing jobs for local lawyers or financial advisors to machine shop stuff. I mean, the locate stakes that you might see a company like MidAmerican Energy use, we make those for them. If you see the white PVC tubes that are up on utility poles that have schematics in them,
we make
those for different utility companies.
Cool.
There's actually a company here in town who builds soft serve ice cream machines, and you know that little flexible tube on the end? Well, we actually cut those down, get them sprayed with the proper food-appropriate silicone, and I always say, we need to test these, so you guys need to drop the machine off. After lunch, Jeff needs a little ice cream to test, but that hasn't happened yet. So people are usually pretty impressed when they come in that facility because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
We also operate dehabilitation groups out of that building. Those are classrooms where participants, let's say, they're just not capable of working for whatever reason, or they've grown beyond the age of working. They're retired, but they still want to stay active.
Mm-hmm.
And so those groups come and they come into classrooms, and those participants get to help determine what that classroom's going to do. So if they're interested in it's Memorial Day weekend coming up, so let's say they want to study Memorial Day weekend, and then they might go over to the Arsenal and check out what's going on at the National Cemetery over there, and then come back and hold a Memorial Day picnic after they've planned out a menu and shopped and done all that stuff. So they have a really good time
doing that.
So that's employment services.
Yeah.
Over here on Brady Street, not too far from your guys' office, is our personal independence program. That is also a dehabilitation program, but that's for folks who are very profoundly disabled.
Okay.
And so they take a different level of quick care, but they're still... they are out in the community way more than you and I are.
Active, yeah.
Absolutely.
Very active.
Very, very active. And if they want to be. And if they don't want to be, they're not forced to be. But it keeps them from either being out on the streets or, you know, sitting at home being plopped in front of a window or in front of a TV. Families can, it's not a babysitting service by any means, but families can be assured that they're safe and that they're being integrated in the community and they're being stimulated and that they're participating. They're not just being... told what to do. They actually have a say in what's going on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because they're adults.
Yeah.
They get to choose. Our other two programs, like I said, are residential programs. We've got a 54-bed residential center over in Northwest Davenport. It's tucked back in this quiet little neighborhood, so most people, it's been there since 1986, but most people don't even know it's there because they don't have a reason to drive back there. And those are for people who are pretty profoundly disabled, need a higher level of care, and there's no other facility really out there for them in this area. And then our other residential program is, it's a big program. We have about 50-plus sites in and around mostly Davenport that we staff, and it's those are sites where participants might have roommates, and they have the lease on the apartment or the house, and we go in and serve them in ways that help them remain safe, make sure they're budgeting their money, make sure that they're shopping, cooking their food, staying clean, you know, hygiene, doing their laundry, things like that. So we have staff who are in there depending on what their needs are. Could be 24/7, could be an hour or two a month. It just depends on what they and their families might need.
Wow. So how big is the operation? How many participants do you guys have or serve on a daily basis? I mean, this sounds like it's huge.
It is huge. Well, look, I'll give you a sense. We're a $17 million nonprofit organization.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
wow.
So we're a very big operation. We've got 400 and it's a moving number. It's about 420 employees right now. That's full and part-time. And we serve around 360 participants right now with more coming in.
That's great.
We would like to be serving more, but candidly, we have a challenge getting enough staff to make sure that we can we can keep everybody, you know, safe and healthy. And part of that's because we try to be as picky as we can in hiring people. So they got to pass background checks and you know, all that good stuff. We want to make sure we're not just hiring anybody. And frankly, this kind of works not for everybody because you're doing some of the most intimate care.
You
know, so if you can get past that, most rewarding job you'll ever have. And if it's not for you, that's cool. You know, we get it.
Yep.
So
yeah.
So that was a long answer to a short question.
No, it's great.
It's great because now we know. Because what a lot of people know is what they've seen. And they may have seen this building over here with the big, nice sign out front and, you know, flashing and saying, hey, this is coming up and this is coming up. And that's maybe the extent of what they know about it. But what you just explained, it's really good for our community to learn that there's these kind of things out here that are serving. They're serving our communities well and serving them very, very well.
And we've been fortunate. Scott County has been very, very supportive. I mean, for 46 years now, this community has been really supportive of making sure that services for people with intellectual disabilities have been in the community and continue to be in the community. And although we see lots of changes coming down the pipeline in the future with different legislation and funding streams and things like that, this community has always been extremely supportive, and we expect that to continue. So.
Yeah.
So we're a well-kept secret, but we're working on that. We've rebranded ourselves, and we're out there trying to make sure people understand and know who we are.
Well, I definitely noticed that because there used to be I think it was an old brown sign over here. Now it's a really nice marquee.
Yep.
You've done a logo, HDC now, and you see that more. I'm seeing that more and more.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. And people will start asking questions, and I'm sure they already have. But I'm really hoping that when people listen to this, that they can open their eyes and say, hey, this is good stuff. This is maybe something that some of our volunteers would want to be a part of.
I hope they do. And if either of your moms have any questions, just
No, our moms don't actually.
we were even lying about that.
What's funny is that every time I see my mom, she's like, oh, yeah, I keep meaning to listen to that podcast.
if any listeners have any questions, though, have them. Our website's kind of not the best right now. It's in the process of being redeveloped, but all our contact information is there. Have them give me a shout.
Yes.
I'd be happy to go talk to anybody, invite them to come in for tours.
Yeah.
We're always doing those sorts of things. So all joking aside, anybody who's interested, love to talk to them and have them learn more.
Absolutely. Well, I know that being in the nonprofit field as well, we know that there are a lot of ways to raise money or try to raise money. And you guys have anything coming up that you guys are looking at kind of within the next, you know, couple weeks or so that you guys are trying to raise some money to try to, you know, further the mission?
No.
Nothing at all.
No, Brandon, I think that today is June 5th. When we're actually airing this, I think
we'll keep that in mind. So it'd be after.
So we just had a great fundraiser, our biggest fundraiser of the year. We do an annual auction, and then the next day a large golf outing.
Oh,
cool!
We've got two support organizations. It's an organization called Hands. which is an acronym for something that I can't remember right now, and then a booster organization that work all year long. But the hands put on this golf and auction outing, and last year they handed us a check for $80,000 after the event was done. So
that's wow, great.
Yeah, and it's not a huge auction. I mean, the auction will have about 250 people there, and so it's a lot of people who come with their checkbooks wide open. Well, we have an open bar, but that's another. that has nothing to do with this. Besides your checks there, right?
Open up at all.
Right. And then we have about that same number who come to the golf outing, and they're not the same people necessarily. So, you know, we'll probably get somewhere around 300 to 325 different people who will attend over that 2 days, and they're really, really, really generous to us. And that's just one event. We also do a candy and nut sale starts like in October and goes until they run out.
Yeah,
we sell them at about 55 different outlets around the Quad Cities.
Wow.
And this is good stuff. People go crazy because they're looking forward to these black walnuts and cashews. And all I know is the multi-built balls are like crack cocaine. So, I mean, I could polish off a bag of two of those. Oh, I mean, it's like a quarter inch of chocolate on these things. It's the best. Can I say crack cocaine on this podcast?
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to sell you any crack anyway. So.
The markup on their cocaine is just
ridiculous.
There's a topic you never thought you'd hear on this podcast.
Well, you know, we sell popcorn. I think I'd much rather sell cocaine.
Actually, your popcorn. I've got a box of it in my pantry right now. Your popcorn is the best popcorn.
We'll take that. Can you repeat that in a little slower?
We need to have a little consortium here. We need to pop your popcorn, throw in my milk balls, and sell them together.
Oh,
wow,
that could be a new product.
We'll have
that
them lined up like
product line.
They'll be lined up like zombies out front. You know, they'll be signing over their paychecks every day.
They have to take out a small mortgage.
We tie it off the veins in their arm. Shoot the stuff right in. Stick it in the toenail.
Is there a point so that you're like, let's hold off on the milk balls for 6 months?
Why would we do that?
Just because.
Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Because.
No, but is there a point where you're like?
You've seen me run.
See, because there's a point where I'm like, I don't need to see popcorn for a little while.
Oh. Just get tired of seeing it.
You know,
I've not hit that wall yet. Maybe it's coming. But, there's a couple bags. My sister ordered a couple bags, and they brought them into my office this morning, and I was like, what are you doing? They're for your sister. You got to take them to her this week. And I was like, mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be productive today.
I was like, did she pay for them?
Are those paid for? Awesome, Jeff.
Well, Jeff, tell us about Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ Superstar, Countryside Community Theater. It's a community theater in Eldridge where I live. For those of you who think Eldridge is way out there, it's only about a 5-minute drive north of Davenport. I'm directing Jesus Christ Superstar. It's going to be June 19th, 20th, 26th, 27th, and 28th. And it's performed at the North Scott High School Fine Arts Auditorium. I've done this show. This is the third time I've done this show. I was in it once, directed it once, and then there was like a 25-year gap, and now I'm directing it again. And taking a different take on it, we've contemporized the whole thing. Hmm. So the idea is this: what would happen if Jesus came back today? If the if the Jesus story originated today,
right?
How would that look? Because I look at it as being the most political story in history, and so what would happen? And so... So without giving away a whole lot, we've changed some gender things.
Sure.
You know, so Jesus is a dude, though.
Jesus is always a dude.
We didn't mess with that because we thought, you know, we'd have some people who might want to crucify me.
The good thing is you get national press.
Talk about marketing.
Oh, you know what? I got some milk balls then. So we've just mixed it up, and it's almost like a House of Cards type story, if you've seen that show.
Cool.
So we've got politicians in it. We've got sort of this pseudo military group in it. We've even got maybe a late night talk show host or two in it. But we've still tried to stay true to the story. So I know there will be some people who won't be too fond of some of the things that we've done, probably because they're expecting, you know, robe sandals and artificial face hair. I wanted to make it. I wanted to bring the story up to a contemporary reason for a very personal reason, because I wanted to make it relatable to my children.
Yeah,
my children are 20, 22, and 25, and I just thought, what a great way to do that. And so, I've got a great cast. I've got one of the best casts I've ever worked with. I used to do a lot of shows back in the day. I've had about a 13-year break between the last time I did a show and this one. But I mean, I'm telling you what, I've seen some stuff come out of this cast that could go on a national tour right now.
No kidding.
I'm not kidding. I'm really excited about the show. Now, we've got still a little time for rehearsal yet, cause, so the whole thing could fall apart.
But from what you've seen so far,
it's pretty amazing. The guy who plays Jesus is absolutely amazing. He could have made it to Broadway, but he's a local guy who decided he wanted to stay here and got married and had a couple kids, and he's just a very humble dude. The guy who plays Judas used to be a Norse Scott Rotarian as well. His name's Tom Brooke. His dad was the mayor of Davenport 10 or so years ago. And Tom is a pretty amazing performer, and he's going to be pretty exciting to watch too. And then there's a young woman you guys may have run into named Kelly Thompson with the Community Foundation for the Great River Bend. She's one of the staff over there, and she plays Mary Magdalene. And I've known Kelly for a few years. I had no idea Kelly had this much talent. I mean, she's pretty amazing. So, and my wife's in it too, but that's one of the surprises. I can't tell you about her. So.
Oh, okay. But Jesus still dies at the end?
Spoiler alert.
That's what I was wondering. You were going to be like, well,
but
this time,
he does it, yeah.
This time we don't kill Jesus at the end, and then
we do.
But if it's like House of Cards, Jesus pushes a reporter from the train.
you just gave it away.
We didn't know it was that much like House of Cards.
I thought it was being original and everything. No, we actually crucify him. If you go online, you can actually go on YouTube and you can see what some other production companies have done, where they've put him in an electric chair and they've put him on and injected him with, you know.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, you got it. The point of the story is the crucifixion, and you got to play that simply and do it with great reverence. And we try to treat everything that we can with reverence. What we're trying to do is just tell the story in contemporary terms. And some of what people don't understand is how, like, I mean, King Herod was a pervert, and I'm not even joking. He was a real he was a real nut job, and so he has the big fun moment in the show. People remember him because his number's all funny and everything. But if they look underneath at what we're doing, they'll see that, you know, we point out pretty much, you know, if Herod were here today, he'd probably go to jail.
He'd be in prison,
or he'd be
a star.
He'd be the mayor of Toronto.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I gotta tell you, like, my guy who's playing Herod, he's a scream. He's an absolute scream. Every night he comes to rehearsal, he does something different, and we just all have to go change our pants because he's just doing something different. So come see it.
That's cool.
Awesome.
It's a great show.
19th, 20th, 26th, 27th, 28th of June.
Yes.
At North Scott.
Countryside Community Theater. Now you're gonna ask how to get tickets?
Yeah.
Google it. there's a website which I can't remember right off the top of my head, but if you Google Countryside Community Theater or go to their Facebook page, you'll find all the information
right
there. Yeah.
Perfect.
Cool.
Perfect.
I think I was telling you, I worked at a performing arts theater in college.
Yes.
And
you and Ted Neely hanging out
backstage.
Yeah,
the national tour of Jesus Christ Superstar came through, and Ted Neely played Jesus Christ Superstar in the movie. He played Jesus.
Yep.
And now,
let me just point this out. Ted Neely's like 127 years old. I mean, he's been around
Jesus
for a long time.
Jesus is 32. So this guy is playing Jesus, and they're like, it's his farewell tour. And I'm like, it's his farewell tour because he died, and they're just propping his body. And the thing is, he looks like he's not 32.
Right. You can tell.
Now he can still sing and hits the high notes.
He's got pipes, man.
Yeah,
really.
But he looks like an old guy, like an old Jesus. And so I'm backstage in the green room. And
why is that funny? Why is old Jesus funny? That's like a dashboard Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah. old Jesus. So I'm backstage in the green room, and it was a couple weeks before the Super Bowl. It was the year that the Bears played the Colts in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And so I hear this guy say, "What do you think the chances are of a Bears-Pats Super Bowl?" And I'm like, "I think it's pretty high." And then I turned to Jesus. I didn't realize it was Jesus. And I'm like, "You would know a lot better than me."
you might have a little better insight than I do.
And so, yeah, I met and he only hung out with them at Jesus Christ Superstar.
So just for the record, who was Jesus rooting for?
Yes. Pats.
The Pats. Oh, he's a huge Pats fan.
Yeah, but the Pats didn't make a Super Bowl that year.
He's
from that area, I guess. So.
Yeah, well.
But didn't the Bears play the Pats in 85 when the Bears won? Were they playing Pats?
I don't think it was. I can't remember who it was, but I don't think it was the Patriots. So.
Tom Brady was there then. Did he know Tom Brady was playing balls? He had the inside scoop. Hey, Brady came and confessed to me last week, but I told him, just throw a couple Hail Marys.
Oh, man, well, we have to end on that. So we're going to our questions. So our first question.
Hey, try the corned beef. I'm here all week. Sorry.
Our first question is, what is your favorite current TV show?
I really am into The Flash right now.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's the right answer.
Yeah. Followed closely by Gotham. I really enjoy Gotham.
Me too, yep.
Yeah. See, now, Gotham is like the show where I wait till I have five or six in a row, and then I just slowly watch them. Where I don't watch, I'm not like, oh, it's Monday. But now Flash, I don't go to sleep on Tuesday before I've watched
it. Okay, don't say anything, because I haven't seen the season finale yet. And I heard somebody at rehearsal told me the other night they went home and wept. And I was like,
because it was
a Flash? What,
they've,
really?
They've definitely revamped both of those storylines, and they're great.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's really, really good stuff. And the best part about The Flash, and I know Andy and I have talked about this, is that I can watch it with my kids.
Yeah, you're right.
There's nothing that really crosses a line where I have to explain much. They love it. My kids love it. Now, Gotham, on the other hand, there's some things that are questionable, but it's very entertaining.
I really like it.
Because you've never seen that part of it. It's kind of like how Episode 3 in Star Wars, everybody wanted to see him become Vader.
Right, right.
It's the same. Everybody wants to see Batman become Batman, and all these villains become who they were. And I love that.
But what I like about Gotham is that I never think, oh, that's Batman.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm more focused on Gordon and the Penguin.
Yep.
And
you know what's cool is the guy who plays the Penguin, he's from Shoeyville, just north of Iowa City.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Robin Lord Taylor.
Yeah, Robin Lord Taylor. Every time I hear that name, though, I'm like, isn't that a department store? go buy my wife something there for Valentine's Day one time or something? He's cool, though. He's
good.
He's an interesting guy.
And
really good.
I was really worried when they were announcing the original cast, and they're like, "And hey, this person's going to play Poison Ivy, and this person's going to play Edward Nygma, and this is..." And already, this I don't like how they're like, this person could be the Joker. You know what I mean? Where it's like, now I think of the Joker as being like Batman's age. You know what I mean? So when they're like, oh, we're going to bring in this person this year, and now... Or I also think of Two-Face as being Batman's age. So when Two-Face is already, like a set... returning and stuff. So that kind of stuff is different. But the stuff that they've talked about, bringing up, like in the comics, they have the Court of Owls.
Yeah, right.
Which, the Court of Owls, and they're saying that might be a season 2 storyline, is bringing in this Court of Owls. And I really like how it's kind of the rise of Penguin to power in Gotham City as well, and taking down the old crime families. Mm-hmm. And the part that it was weird to me that I noticed, where I'm like, oh, that makes this show interesting, is in the second or third episode, a character says, the Waynes just were murdered, or, now that the Waynes are gone. And I thought, we don't know that story. So with Batman, they call it like the Jesus years, where, Jesus was 12,
right,
and then he was 32.
You skip, right?
And there's a whole bunch of time there where anything could have happened. And Batman kind of has the same thing, and they just, he was at prep school, he was training, he was over in the mountains. And then he came back, and where they're trying to fill in some gaps there. And now the Batman kid's pretty young, so it's not like the show's going to be on for 15 years and then he becomes Batman. But
that kid better start bulking up, though. That's all I have to say. I mean, he needs a protein shake or two, if you ask me.
Well, I like how he can be kind of like a wimp, where the Catwoman character will be like, "Hey, you should do this," and he's like, "Watch this." I like how they've kind of brought the Graysons in a little bit, you know, like
right.
where they've seeded, they just seeded some things.
Well, and you and I talked about the premiere too, and the premiere they introduced a lot
they
of
did.
Characters, and I'm like, what are they going to do with all these kids? But then they've taken their time, especially with Penguin, and now they've made him one of the main storyline characters, and I think that's good, because when they were showing all these different characters all at once, I'm thinking, this is going to be just...
I think it was like an old Italian woman making pasta. They just took it out of the pot and threw it against the wall to see what would stick.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, they threw everything at it.
They did.
But I think they've at least mellowed it out so that it's... They're focusing kind of on the Penguin story, because
right.
really the Penguin is relatively the main power source of crime in,
right.
in Gotham. It's like a mob boss. And then... Like, the Enigma character has just kind of gradually evolved over the season where he's not a focus, you know, and then they...
He's pretty wicked in the season finale, though.
Yes, yeah.
It was like, holy...
But, you know, if they can pop in, you know, they pop in Jonathan Crane from time to time, you might have, like, a Victor Freeze
right.
reference. That stuff's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Now, but I like... I'm worried that they'll pull in the Joker and have that be a thing because... I like the idea of Batman having created the Joker, whereas Batman's a mistake,
right.
and that's where you have
right.
the Joker where he falls into like an acid
right.
tank.
I'll tell you who I really love in it, though. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. The guy who plays Alfred.
Yes.
Really like, in
he's
fact,
cool.
he's my favorite Alfred of all the incarnations I've seen.
No kidding.
I really like
yeah.
him a lot. Now we'll see what Batman versus Superman brings next year with
yeah.
Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
But I really like this guy who plays
yeah,
Alfred. He's good.
He's really
yeah.
good.
Man.
Well, good.
I love being able to talk about the Flash.
Hey, we'll do another podcast. We'll just come back
and just talk about
right?
that.
Right?
We do stuff like
we do.
We did do a podcast just on the Marvel movies.
I'm a DC guy, so I could give you about that much, and then I'd be
yeah.
done. So,
well, DC has they've definitely bought stock in TV.
Oh yeah,
like their movies. I have, except for like the Batman trilogy. Their movies, to me, haven't been anything to write home about.
Right.
Now, I am interested in this. I'm interested in Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty cool. That's
I'm
cool.
interested
that's
in
really
seeing...
Cool.
I think that Affleck's going to be a good Batman.
I agree.
I think
so,
so too.
I'm interested more in that than I am in Henry Cavill, because I wasn't the biggest fan of
no,
Man of Steel.
After I saw it the third time, and literally in the theater, third time, I was like, all right. I really liked it then. Really liked it a lot. What really hit me, though, is the heart and soul of that movie. Didn't get transferred. The heart and soul of that movie was Kevin Costner.
Yeah, Costner. Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that gets transferred to Cavill in the new movie.
Right.
So I hope so.
All right. Man. Second question.
You oh,
start
two more.
All over. Yeah, we've yeah. got start all over and have your dream job other than the one that you have right now. What would you want to do?
What would I want to do? Special effects or like a makeup artist in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of talent.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like a Rick Baker.
Yeah. I mean, just the things that those guys get to play with and come up with and create. And to me, that would just be a gas, you know?
What was that show that Bob Christopher was talking to us about on Sci-Fi?
Oh, Face Off.
Yes.
Yeah.
You watch that?
A friend of mine got me hooked on it a few years ago, yeah.
He said it's awesome.
It is awesome.
And I've seen promos for it, but I've never actually seen the show.
Yeah,
but.
It's very cool. They give them, like, you know, I don't know, like 15, 16 hours over the course of 2 days to come up with a fully realized character,
wow.
costume, and makeup. And it can't be a mask. It's got to be makeup. So they've got to be able to articulate things, and they give them a theme for each challenge. So it's
cool.
It's sort of like the makeup world's version of American Idol.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Well, isn't it funny how far we've come from... You have Night of the Living Dead, shot in black and white, so that, you know, the people who are zombies are just a little whiter, you know,
yeah.
and they don't talk. Like,
right.
that's a zombie. And now you have Walking Dead, where it's like people are missing parts of them.
Right.
You know, right. how do they...
Yeah.
The
yeah.
And then, what's his name? It's not Scott. Is it Scott Gimple? The guy, the main producer on Walking Dead, who's
oh.
also the main makeup artist... Whereas they just put him in charge of the whole show. You know, it's like...
just go for it, yeah.
And then now Walking Dead has the whole, what new can we do? You know, where it's,
yeah.
they have to come up with something
yeah.
new.
Yeah, and I've seen some, and I was like, well, I know why they did that, because they've never done it before, and everybody's sitting at home going, oh,
right.
Well, yeah.
Right. Yeah, shock factor. That's right.
I mean, when they spit out the back tire over the head of a zombie, you know, and then everything splatters on the camera, you're like, okay, I get it.
The car spins out just on a pile of bodies, yeah, right, where they right, can't right. move any further. There's just so many bodies underneath.
Well, great traction, though, so if you ever get stuck.
Well, the hell we were talking
in winter,
earlier.
I just throw a couple of zombies in the back trunk. And
we were talking earlier about them bleeping the swear words on TV. So there's swear words they can't say.
Right.
Yet they can show this kid right. having his face ripped off right. and people eating out their intestines and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And
But that's kind of like eating at Lenardi. So yeah, it's like pasta in a good gravy. You know?
when we go into elementary schools and we had our zombie last year, it was all zombie themed.
Oh, cool.
And fourth and fifth graders were like, "Who here watches The Walking Dead?" And everyone raises their hand. And I'm thinking, I shouldn't be watching it.
There's some times where I don't know if I should be watching it, let alone a 10-year-old.
Let alone having your 3-year-old on your lap.
It's the only show that my family, except for my youngest son who's away at school, it's the only show that all of us, and we're all, I told you, gave you the ages, they're all in their 20s.
Yeah.
We stop on a Sunday night, everybody gathers.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to watch The Walking Dead. Yep. And then my youngest son even got our youth pastor at church to start watching. I was like, Joel, really? He's like, hey, man, this is awesome. Great. Say a prayer for me. Because we're all going to hell now.
The minister on the show, he was just arrested for OWI, and they're like, so he'll probably, they'll just be like, oh yeah, he got eaten. He was walking out there and he got eaten. Well, and the guy who played Herschel, he had gotten OWI down there too. But
great character.
That was they hadn't. There was a season break there where he didn't have a beard, and they came back and it had been like 6 months had passed. Right. And so when they showed his initial mugshot, he had his beard and they hadn't seen that yet. And
right.
They're like, oh, what's happened to this guy? But now you see someone.
That's what happens when you drink, kids. Yeah.
You see someone from Walking Dead at like a movie premiere and they're clean shaven, they have the haircut, and you think, oh, they're dead. Like, they'll be killed.
Right.
They'll be like, Norman Reedus goes on everything, and he has long hair, and he's, like, greasy, and then you're like, yeah, because Norman Reedus is going to stick around.
He's going to stay around for a while.
So really, really quick story. I was telling someone this the other night. I was at a Comic-Con in Chicago, and this was about the first season of Walking Dead, and I was just walking through the crowd, and it seems about every Comic-Con I go to, I have a story where I never pay attention, so I just accidentally run into someone, and then it's someone famous. You know, like...
Right.
And it's truly...
In all actuality, you've been following him around the entire time.
I got a brother who does the same.
No, I did actually. I stood next to Tony Moore, who was the original artist for Walking Dead in the comic. I stood next to him at a urinal one time. But anyway...
Okay, so first you hang out with Jesus...
Yeah.
...and kibitz over a football game, and now you're using the urinal next to Tony. Okay.
Well, I did buy a print from him, so it made it okay. But
I hope you washed your hands first.
Yeah. So, and then what was
I hope he washed his hands first.
Like, hey, remember me from that room that we were in? But I was walking through this Comic-Con. I wasn't paying attention. This guy bumps into me, and I was like, oh, hey, sorry, man. He's like, hey, no problem, And then he keeps walking, and I kind of look back, because I'm like, he's dressed kind of nice. He walks behind a booth, and there's all this Boondock Saints stuff everywhere, and it was Norman Reedus. I didn't know who he was at the time.
Was he all cleaned up?
Yeah, he was. Well, he was cleaned up, and at the time, it was just that first like 6 episodes of Walking Dead had been on, and I saw Boondock Saints once back in college. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, I bumped into the Boondock Saints guy at Comic-Con. I ran into him, and everyone's like, he's on Walking Dead now, and I'm like. Oh, yeah, he is a guy from Walking Dead. I had no idea.
It is pretty wild when you run into famous people like that. And I came face to face with Charlie Sheen at an airport one time, and it was back like in the 90s, and he was heading to Cincinnati. The Reds were in the World Series. He's in a bright satin red jacket, and I'm paying no freaking attention at all. And I mean, literally, boom, face to face, and he just kind of was like, eh. He was normal then. So.
Well, our last question, if you could meet anybody, alive, dead, fictional, it can be anybody, and have a meal with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
I didn't know there was going to be a test.
Yeah.
Who would
This is always a question where people pause for a long time.
There's a lot of people. I'm not one of those people who... you know, famous people come around, except when I bump into an airport. I usually go the opposite direction because it's not that big a thing for me. Right. So I don't think about that very often. You know, my dad's gone. It'd be very cool to be able to sit down with my dad again.
Sure.
And it wouldn't matter what I was eating. Just to have an hour just to hang out with him again. And not because there were any leftover issues. I was very fortunate with my parents. Just had a great relationship. So my dad would be number one. My mom would be number two.
Cool.
After that, I would probably... I think it'd be awesome, and not just because I'm doing the show, but it'd be awesome to sit down with Jesus and the disciples. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be at the Last Supper, but because that didn't look like it was a great meal.
No. In my opinion.
And I don't drink wine, so I don't think they drink beer. Funny story though, my Jesus in my show is a brewmaster.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's the best beer around.
Yeah, he's one of the best local.
He truly turns in water into alcohol.
You darn Skippy.
Yeah, he put that on his resume for the show.
But you know, if I had the chance, who I'd really talk to would be in that story at least would be Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
We know so little about her,
right?
And some of the theories that I've been reading about her as I've been working on this show, fascinating,
sure.
Fascinating stuff. So I'd really like to know what their relationship was. What she did after the crucifixion and death and what the end of her story was. So
yeah, cool.
She'd be somebody I really want to. And well, again, it wouldn't matter. You know, hey, Mary, you want a burger? I don't know. What do you want?
That's right.
You, now that your you're pick. In this modern time,
have you had ice cream?
Well, it's funny the people that are like, I want to meet Jesus, and we'll have like ham and bacon. Or it's like, I don't think it works that way. I don't think he's allowed to eat that stuff. So he was Jewish.
Really?
Is that right?
I didn't. I got to start my rehearsals all over.
Yeah, there goes the script. We got to do this all
over. I'm going to go to rehearsal night and go, all right, guys, we're starting over. Put the bacon away. No more hot dogs, gang. That's it.
Jesus eating the hot dog. Oh,
I told you it was a contemporary version. Yes. He's drinking beer and eating hot dogs.
He could eat a Hebrew National.
All right. Right. Those are good hot dogs, actually.
Those are good, hot dogs. After the podcast, I'll tell you my joke. But I've already tried to tell it on the podcast before, and I'm not
and I got stopped. Stopped.
Wait, I got a sound fix here. I can bleep it. Just point at me when it's done.
So what I think is interesting about Mary Magdalene is all the stories that are attributed to her, and we're not sure if that was her or not.
That's what's cool about her. Yeah.
So
Actually, a lot of people get confused with who Mary Magdalene was. A lot of people think that she was the adulterous woman, and she wasn't. A lot of people think that she was totally crazy, and there's the whole, you know, seven spirits thing or whatever, you know, that she may have had some sort of, but by today's standards, what does that mean?
Right.
You know, did she have a mental illness of some kind?
Right.
Did she have an intellectual disability? Or was it just, you know, the dudes who were writing the Bible, you're going, we're not real fond about having such a strong female character.
Yeah.
Let's straighten her out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. So... So she's just a really fascinating individual from history for me that I cool. And I'm probably jaded right now because I'm doing the show, and that's why I'd want to talk to these folks. Fictional, I'd sit down with Captain Kirk in a heartbeat, man. Have a little Romulan ale. Kirk's cool, and he's from Iowa.
Yeah, he's from Iowa. That's right.
So there you go. Now you know. Jesus, my dad, my mom, and Kirk.
That's what the byline's going to be on this podcast.
Bet you never had anybody say that before. You didn't have Bob Fox say that.
Bob Fox did say his parents.
Did he?
He did say
his parents.
His parents are my parents.
Your parents.
Yeah. Actually, Bob knew my parents. So. And my parents love Bob, so...
Well, Jeff, thank you very much for being on
so
with us today. And
I got another hour before the end of the day. Can we hang
here? I have a boy talk in a half hour, 20 minutes.
you gotta get going.
But otherwise, we could do this all. We could talk for another hour about Flash.
Oh
yeah, oh yeah.
We'll have to have you back sometime
to
talk about. Well, wait. Have you seen all the Arrow show?
I can't get into it. I got to hear about the first
second
half.
Season.
That's
the first
where
season
I am.
Second season was good.
I've heard that, yeah.
But third season was okay.
Yeah.
Now, they've introduced Brandon Routh as the Adam.
As the Adam, right.
And I like his... I'd rather watch a show about his character than about Arrow.
They had they had that crossover with The Flash. I really dig Firestorm and The Flash.
Yeah.
I like how they've built that.
Yeah. It's very cool. Plus, cool.
And Victor Garber, who was a Broadway Jesus, he was Godspell.
He was in Godspell. Oh. Yeah. Plus, what originated one of the roles in Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, back in like 78 on Broadway.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you should see, doesn't look anything like Martin Stein. He had long hair. And, you know, he kind of had this hippie thing going on.
Yeah. We'll find a picture of him. Well, Jeff, thank you very much for being with us today, and I know that we'll talk with you very soon.
Yeah, good times. Thanks, I'll bring malted milk balls next time.
Right? Awesome. Definitely. All right. We'll bring the popcorn.
You're on. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.